For he is truly worthy of all of our praises. Amen. Amen. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And we acknowledge him in our midst today, thankful to him that he has truly awakened our spirits in our children. Amen. 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 Yeah. You know, I think we do well in other arenas when we acknowledge our children and all of the extracurricular activities that they do. We show up, don't we? We show up and we encourage them in those things. Amen. My little Johnny is over there performing, and I don't care if he's performing on the bench, I'm gonna show him some love. Amen. I think in the same light, we need to consider that this is the most important thing that a child could ever be involved in. Oh, hello, light. Somebody don't hear me. You know, might not ever make it to the Final Four. He might not ever make it to the big leagues in baseball or football, whatever the case might be. But if he or she is involved in the work of kingdom building, I think that's something we ought to kind of give them some praise for. I think that's what's most important, especially in a day where there is evil all around us, where our days are not guaranteed like they have been, like we have considered. God's been good, church. And to see children in the life of the church, God is still good. He deserves our praise. So sometimes, y'all, I think we need to just loosen up and realize how well we are offering the important things, how we are lifting up the important things. So glad my mama looked beyond my hesitance and my non-wisdom and my non-insights and saw a need for me to be in the house of the Lord. That's praiseworthy, y'all. That's praiseworthy. That's praiseworthy. Even though we don't have none, so to say, yeah, I know your quiver been empty, your nest egg has been gone a long time now, but still to see children in the house of the Lord, it ought to be an amazing praise going from us. So don't forsake the assembling of yourselves and offering praise when God is bringing up a nation of children. Don't forsake it. Don't forsake it, but encourage it. I know you don't have the kind of energy that you used to have. I don't have the kind of energy I used to have. You can lie if you want to, but it ain't the same as it was yesterday. It's dwindling. But to see the energy, the life that's in our young people, it's worthy of the praise. Amen? Amen. Somebody say, Pastor, why are you saying that? Well, I think somebody needs to say it. Somebody needs to acknowledge it. Because God is expecting us to. He says, train up. Train up the child in the way that he or she should go. Train up. Train up. Don't leave that to them, because I guarantee you they won't choose it. You didn't. You were trained up. Hello, lights, and you're still here. How many of you chose this one on your own? Very few. You're trained in this way. So we give our thanks and praise to those that saw enough and gave us the encouragement in the way, the truth, and the life. Can't put it any plainer than that. So God, we thank you for this new beginning. We thank you for this new opportunity. We thank you, oh God, for this remnant that you have in place for McKinney in this day and time. And we thank you that her life in this society has a future and a hope. Lord, we realize that we are all just passing through it. And now there's another generation, God, of McKinneyites among us. And we give you thanks and we give you praise. Now help us, oh God, to cause the main thing to be the main thing as we place our sales and pour into these young folk in such a way, oh God, that this remnant might be the manifestation with a future and a hope. May your manifold blessings fall down upon this church and on these children, oh God, that they might be able to hold up the blood-stained banner. Thank you for this glimpse this morning, oh God, of your holiness in action. Now this time has come, oh God, where we must speak a word of truth into the hearers. So speak to our hearts, speak to our minds. Unveil your manifold wisdom and insight in this place. And we'll be careful, God, and we are prayerful, God, that it will bring forth the praise that you desire and deserve from your doing. So have your way, we pray in Jesus' name, on this message and on your people. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 So this morning I'm going to be continuing this holy week and all of its observance. I think it falls right in alignment with where we are in the calendar year, primarily because Paul is simply admonishing us to be all that we have. I like that piece where it says, every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. But it says more than that. It says more than that to us. It says that we have something to go along with life that will be able to move us forward. We have the beloved activity of God. How many of you know God so loved the world Amen. He so loved the world in spite of where it has fallen, how it has fallen, in spite of its frailties, in spite of its difficulties, in spite of me, in spite of you, in spite of your messy, in spite of your gossip, in spite of your non-praise, in spite of your nonchalant attitude, in spite of your behavior, in spite of your attitude, in spite of your hate, God so loved the world. How many of you believe that today? That he put in place, and that's where we're going today. We're going to try to connect some things. Ephesians chapter 1 goes on to say at verse 7, said, his richness, his kindness, and grace purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. Y'all better hear me today. Verse 8 says he has showered kindness on you and me, along with wisdom and, let me back up, along with all wisdom and understanding. Verse 9 goes on to say, he has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ. Regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. And this is the plan. At the right time, he's going to bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Now I want you to allow that to sink in, but I also want you to understand, verse 7 talks about lavishing something upon us, grace. And verse 9 says he's revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ. Regarding Christ. Reverend Keyes, as I looked at this Passion Week, I saw his passionate play. Thank you, Ursus. I saw his passion play in the activity of what we are observing in what we call Holy Week. I saw love with the aspect of grace being lavished upon the believers. I saw it. I see it. I see it in motion over 2,000 years ago, and how it is being played out in this very week. And I think God, for the most part, has an expectation of you and I to be about that same business, that kingdom business that has been that this week brings to the table. This business of a new covenant for all of God's children to be made alive once again in our own personal lives and even in the lives of others. This passionate steering to the cross, despite all of the evil that has been done, that is being done to Jesus, is modeled, is a model of how God so loved the world and how Jesus demonstrates in what happens to him this week. Y'all know this is a rough week for Jesus. Hey, man, it's a pretty rough week for Jesus, and in the midst of all of the frolicking and all of the fanfaring that we do, I think we need to take a real good look at the depth of this week and how it speaks to me. In the midst, listen, y'all, in the midst of the suffering of Pontius Pilate brings upon him, in the midst of what sin has beckoned his duties toward, in the midst of all that he is encountering, even betrayal, God, through Jesus, still loves. Wow. The theme of it all is being played out this particular week. You know, in the midst of whatever you're going through, that's when you make certain decisions, amen? And you do, you're driven almost to do what is necessary so that you can either save face or even save your life or even just be comfortable where you are in your circumstance. So in the midst of betrayal, suffering, we see divine love in action. Y'all don't hear that, do you? We see what's love got to do with it. We see what love really is. We see grace upon grace being given regardless of what has happened here to him. We see Jesus taking on the position of what God expects of us, and that is love anyhow. Y'all don't hear me. Love anyhow. The greatest picture right here in this week, we see grace being lavish upon us, and God, through Christ, is loving us in spite of us. Amen. Like you think about Judas and you call Judas whatever you want to call him. He's a traitor. He's this. He's that. He's everything but that. He's somebody that was untrustworthy. I'm thinking about that passage in Matthew, the 26th chapter, verses 17 through around the 30th verse, where this week plays out how Jesus calls all of these folks in whom he loved, his disciples, and he took them to dinner. He took him to dinner, y'all. He called a dinner during Passion Week. As he looked at the cross, he called those that have been following him to a dinner. And it wasn't the whole, it wasn't a multitude, y'all, but these were special individuals. You know, this was an intimate dinner that he set up. Y'all know the story. Do I need to take some time to tell the story? Hopefully you've been tracking all these many years you've experienced this week. Hopefully you're able to see them in this passionate moment. Amen. They laying down. They are on their left elbow, so to speak, and eating with their right hand down on the floor, low to the ground, and Jesus is right there with them. All 12 of them, y'all, including Judas. And you know what? I got to thinking this week, I said, you know, all of us got some Judases. Somebody that has gone along and betrayed you. Somebody that you put your trust in and they did not respond like you thought they should have toward you. And then I thought about those individuals, how I responded versus how Jesus is responding this week. See, Christianity is something, y'all. Following Christ is a lick, y'all. I mean, it's a strength involved that a lot of people don't get to. You see, following Christ, the ultimate plan here is the fact that I'm gonna love you back. In spite of what have you done for me lately, in spite of what you do to me, in spite of how you respond to me, I'm gonna love you. I'm gonna look beyond your fault, and I'm gonna see your need, and I'm gonna move in the direction like my model teacher has showed me. Passion Week, again, it lays it out. I'm looking at Jesus now, y'all, operating in his graciousness, and he done called Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all of the apostles, And he's called them to the table, and now they are having this very intimate moment. And Judas been out there doing his thing. Judas done betrayed him, y'all. Judas has literally misguided his actions and betrays Jesus. And I like the fact that he handled it well. He responded to it because he called him out at the table. He said one of the first thing he tell him, he said, one of you guys done sold me down the river. One of you guys done sold me for a few coins, if you will. I think it's important that we, even in keeping a relationship intact, that we definitely make sure that we respond to the ill that's happened or bring it to play, but never as an expense to the relationship itself. You see, the 12, Jesus made sure that the 12 could stay connected. They could stay connected. He demonstrates how to handle a situation like this. He brings it to light. You sold me out. One of these guys in this intimate relationship here, you who gonna dip his hand in the cup with me, you sold me out. And then the boys begin to question themselves, is it I, Lord? Those that were following him very closely and understood him to be Lord and Savior, is it I, Lord? And then those that were, and then Judas sticks his hand in the cup and he says, is it I, Rabbi? In other words, I know you're teaching something out here. And I know it's powerful enough because I'm sitting at the table with you. I've been with you all these years, and I'm feeling what you're doing. And Jesus says, you know what you did. You know what you're doing. You know that you have sold me down the river to the Roman government, and they coming to get me. You know it. They coming to take my life, and you helped. And Jesus said, you said it. But then he explained to him, man, it is better for you if you wouldn't have had done this. In other words, you didn't have to go this right. It was prophesied that it was going to happen, but the individual himself still has the opportunity to decide what they're going to do. You have a choice in the matter. And you are making the decisions right where you are. Y'all don't hear me today, do you? See, this Passion Week shows me a lot about what love's got to do with any of this. And I'm coming to realize that love is the epitome of all this. Peter recognized it, y'all. Peter said, I don't know, it might have to do with this incident here that Peter says, you know what? We got to learn that love is the epitome of what the plan of God is. Scripture said, 1 Peter 4:8, it says, above all, love each other deeply. Ooh, I hit somebody there, didn't I? Love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sin. Let me check you right now. Somebody say the wrong thing to you or don't even respond to you the same way. Your love meter is low. But Jesus is saying, your love meter, Peter is saying, your love meter needs to be 100 in this life, regardless to how somebody has betrayed you. I look at this thing, y'all, a little different than many, but as I look in the Holy Week, I see Jesus in his final act demonstrating this amazing love toward us all. This action of Jesus is really addressing deal breakers for many. Anybody got a deal breaker set up in your relationship? Hello. Anybody got a deal breaker set up to where if you cross this line of betrayal, it's over with for you and me? Jesus goes beyond and says, and Peter recognizes something in it, and Peter says, ooh wee, you got to love deep. It's going to take deep love in order to maintain relationships. It's going to go beyond what we might consider a deal breaker that changes our relationship with our own humanity and the frailties that others bring to us. Jesus is teaching y'all this week. This is last week on earth for a little bit. He's going to have a little wine with these boys and eat a little bread with these fellas, and they're going to sit down and kick it for a while. But Jesus realized, this is the last meal I'm having with you guys, but I got to teach you something. I got to show you something. I got to show you the ultimate plan of God, how he looked beyond our faults and saw our need for salvation anyhow. Y'all don't hear me today. How we must consider our own Judases. How we must be willing to address the sins, but continue to love the sinner. You see, he hated what Judas did to him because he knew what Judas did. How that was detrimental, how that would be understood historically. But he also knew that the ultimate so loving the world was for him to, who knew no sin, who had no the Pilate say, I find no fault in this man. You know, this man ain't done nothing here, but expressed love to the world. This man ain't done nothing here but showed us an example of God's love for us. He's guilty of loving. Sometimes, y'all, it happens that I like to say it like this. It bees that way. It just bees that way. And you might have to call your Judas out, but don't forget your responsibility to love. Y'all listen. I didn't say reaction. I said response. Your ability to respond. Y'all know a whole lot of folks react. Jesus is saying, oh no, I'm gonna give you another way to handle this. I'm gonna give you a love action, and I'm gonna give you some grace to do it. And so therefore it will give you a better response. It will give you the ability to respond. I wonder if I got a witness in the house today. It's okay to call your Judas out. Yeah, boy, you blew it right there. That wasn't a good move, dude. But I still love you. I have a responsibility as a believer. I have an obligation as a believer. God so loved me. I gotta love you. Just because your weakness wasn't my weakness, and your strength was not my strength. Just because we are all made in the image and likeness of God, we are supposed to love. But realizing also that all have sinned, come on now, and fallen short of what God expects from holy people. I don't care how deep the hurt is. If I'm a lover of God, and I'm going to go to scripture with you on that one, because that's a hard one, and Pastor, you asking me for too much. I don't know about that one. 1 John 4 and 8 says, whoever does not love, listen, whoever does not love does not know God. Write that scripture down, y'all, and take that one with you. Take that one to the bank and deal with all of those things that fight against your partiality toward people. All your judgment seats, take that one to the bank and look at it and meditate on 1 John 4 and 8. And you'll see what love's got to do with it. How many of you are God's children up in here? We all claim to be God's children. And God is the epitome of love. When the world see God's children coming, they ought to be expecting some love from them. The injustices in this world, when the children of God come into view, it ought to be love. Sometimes all of this stuff that's going on out there in the world, it bothers me because the positions that children of God so easily take. Hate the sin. Only thing God hated was sin. He didn't hate the sinner. He had a place for the sinner. Even Judas, he had a place at the table for sinners. Oh no, he didn't like what he did. He dealt with it. But he still loved Judas. Y'all know Jesus died for Judas too? Oh, y'all don't want to hear this today because it's going to cost you a little bit. But the reality is that there was no deal breaker with Jesus' love. He addressed it. He had this beautiful banquet set out for the 12 of them, and they dined sufficiently, and he even encouraged them in their faith. Told them, they having some conversation, y'all. They having some real talk, and Jesus is there. Say, yeah, fellas, I'm going to die in a few days because of this. He say, this is what I want you to hold on to. He said, I will bring you out of the bondage when I die. He said, you will no longer be enslaved to the sins that have so captured you. I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to buy your past sins and put you in a better place. And I'm going to take you as my own people. That's what this week is all about, y'all. It's about love. And I wanna produce a momentum out of these memories and feelings that you have. Them fellas was feeling so good after they had this conversation, and including Judas. Bible say, and later on, Judas goes on, hangs himself because he said, oh, what a wretched man that I am. And he couldn't embrace the full reality of this grace. But nonetheless, Judas goes off the scene. And the scripture says later on, they found him hanging from a tree. So much guilt that he didn't have to bear. Woo, you preaching today, preacher. The Bible say, listen, y'all, I like this, y'all, because look here, the scripture at the end, that Matthew scene, the scripture says, them boys got to drinking a little wine, and I'm sure they had some good stuff on that last one, Reverend. I don't know, he might have had some Remy or something like that working for him, you know, if that's, I've been over there. I'm a snoozer. If I have, I don't drink the wine because it puts me to sleep. Okay, I be snoring like a monkey. But some of them get in a clappy mood, y'all. And the next thing you know, a praise thing broke out among them, because the Bible said after Jesus got through partying with these guys, and Jesus sure know how to give a party. After they got through whining and dining around the table and confessing their sins and so forth about their understanding of this, the Bible say they got together and they started tuning up. Yeah, hey, Jerome, you ever been to a party, man, when the fellas just start singing together? Food. Next thing you know, having some good, deep conversation, faith-building, encouraging conversation. And the next thing you know, we hugging and singing songs and going on and just having a good time. I want you to picture this. Love came out of that situation, even with Judas, who betrayed him. told me something. Said, grace of God that he lavished upon us can help us through anything that we encounter. He gives you love. He expects you to love. And he gives you grace to do it. Woo! Lavished it on you. Y'all, we talked about being lavished with his grace last week. He just poured it on. He got you soaking wet. You can do this thing. You can do this thing. Not by yourself, but my grace is sufficient. I didn't give you no expectations without giving you the tool to get it done. I just wanted you to experience this unmerited favor and then pass it on. Ooh, you preaching today. I'm closing. I gotta close here. But I hear them boys singing, what a friend we have in Jesus. Don't y'all hear them singing, y'all? They jamming now. What a friend we have in Jesus. And then perhaps they thought about the grace and they say, oh, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I can hear them singing, our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is so awesome that he put a plan in motion for you and for me. And even so, y'all, on the way down the Via Della Rosa, he's still showing out in love. Stuck him on a cross, but tied two thieves. And the thief start realizing the love that was permeating from him, and he asked for it. He say, Jesus, when you get to your kingdom, will you remember a wretch like me? I've been thieving all my life. I've been betraying folks' trust all my life. Will you remember me? And Jesus ain't do nothing but take him on into his heart, right where you and I are, if you're in Christ Jesus. Thief on the cross, he didn't leave earth without it. and the grace was sufficient enough to cover him. And all you got to do, all Judas had to do was confess his sins. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's gospel 101. Same folk that was piercing, that's going to pierce him in the sides, going to draw blood from him, and going to beat him down the Via Della Rosa. When he gets to his last breath, that Roman persecution, he says, Father, even forgive them as they pierce me in the side, even forgive them as they put a crown of thorns on my head, even forgive them. Well, they don't know what they're doing. Whew. What manner of love is this? That even a man would die for you. In the name of Jesus, you must understand, he died, and his death in love produced resurrection. Because the Bible says, early, after the tomb events, early, one Sunday morning, he gets up and he declares all power in heaven and earth is in my hand. What manner of love is this? What manner of love is this? I don't know about y'all, but that's the kind of love I want to receive. That's the kind of love I am also expected to give. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. A life-giving love, y'all. A resurrecting love, y'all. A connecting love that keeps me connected even with my enemy. I gotta love you. I gotta love you. I gotta love you in spite of. I have the ability to love. I have grace. You can do with it what you want to do with the love that I give you. But I still got to give it to you. Still got to give it to you. Still got to get obligated to give it to you. Obligated. Because so much has been done for me. Oh, y'all just don't know what I'm talking about here. So much to be thankful for. I gotta give it to you. And I have enough grace. Woo! I have enough grace. I've been given enough grace. I can lavish some grace on you. Woo! And let me put it like this. Those that have ears to hear what God is saying to you this week. Don't just let it be another event, but think about the love. Think about the love. Think about the wretch that you are, saved by grace. Get happy. Get excited. Get passionate toward others. You know what you got ahead of you. You know what you struggle with. You know who you struggle with. You know what is challenging you. You know what you can't stand. You know you set your boundaries and that's it. If you cross this line or get near, I'm gonna bust you down and I ain't got no love for you. Well, yes you do. If you appropriate the grace the aspect of grace in your life. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. God is good.